Tired of not being heard? Call 942-6200. Now back to the Pulse Morning Show on AM 620 WZON.
My gosh, perhaps the most well-timed bump back in from news in the history of the Pulse Morning Show.
Tired of not being heard.
Yeah, because we've got somebody in the studio right now who knows what it's like to not be heard for, oh, I don't know, 16 years?
I haven't been working on it that long, but 7 years.
It only feels like a lifetime.
Yes.
Gretchen Heldman joins us now. Gretchen, a resident of the town of Eddington.
Yes. Hello again.
Another meeting last night. I guess I'm trying to understand why in the world did the Maine Department of Transportation even feel a need to have this meeting? The decision has been made. The I-395 connector is going to happen. It's going to happen along a path that was not even their own preferred path, and they're going to spend in excess of $60 million on the project, a project that, if the turnout last night is any indication, you are hardly the only opponent of this thing.
Correct. So I guess I could sum it up real quickly. There were sign-in sheets when you entered the door to attend the meeting. I signed in as Dog and Pony Show. Not even close to joking.
I know. I can understand that you aren't. I mean, the level of frustration that you've experienced with this whole process over the last, 7 years now, has been extreme. And it seems that there hasn't been any real sharing of information. You've been blocked and set aside throughout this process. Every time you're asking for information, you're asking the people who are involved to follow the process that they themselves established, and they can't even seem to manage that. And now we have a $60+ million highway project looming. What was the sentiment in the room last night? I mean, it couldn't have been a very comfortable place for the DOT officials to find themselves.
Yeah, the overwhelming sentiment was the same that it was at the May 2012 public hearing on the draft environmental impact statement, which was not in favor of the project. You know, same sentiment as the 390+ signatures on the petition against it, same sentiment as the resolutions or resolves passed by the City of Brewer and the Town of Eddington against this particular 2B2 option. Same sentiment that there has been. There was just one opportunity for the general public to speak directly to DOT officials. And the difference between this meeting and the May 2012 public hearing was DOT officials were actually answering questions, or at least doing their best to divert and not answer questions. So, whereas the 2012 hearing, they just took comment and didn't respond at all.
Well, it's really that lack of response that has to be the most frustrating, because to be unable to get any kind of reply at all, and to be left with the feeling that, well, okay, this really was a dog and pony show. This is a determination. I mean, at what point over the course of the last 7 years did you feel that you were really tilting at a windmill here? That there was going to be no, I know, awful analogy given the location. At what point did you feel like, you know what, I don't know why I'm doing this, because their mind is made up, despite the public facade being put up that, oh no, you know, this is a work in progress, and we're still trying to figure out what would be best, and if that means we don't do anything, then we won't do anything.
I think probably one of the first indications was when I did the FOIA request, and I received over 1,200 pages of documents, one of which was an email among DOT employees, I think from the project manager, stating that three project managers ago now, was told at the time that this project was one to be taken forward, even though the price tag was up there, and they were told that by the governor's office. So that was one indicator that there might be some shenanigans going on here. Mm-hmm. Probably nothing we do is going to change that, but let's keep trying anyway.
Residents have stood in opposition to this. Municipal officials have stood in opposition to this, and it has continued to roll forward. Perhaps very slowly, but you know, it's grinding everything To a very fine powder along the way.
Mm-hmm. That's what I call their magic dust, by the way. what they use to make this root a viable option.
That's the other thing that just really stands out here as you look at the timeline. The website that you pulled together, I think, lays it out there very clearly and very plainly for anybody to review. I wonder, have you ever taken a look at who visits that website? Do you have the ability to see IP addresses to find out just what level of interest there has been in your very public presentation of the reasons why this shouldn't be happening, but is?
Yeah, there's a stat counter on there, and you can look at IP addresses, and most of it's local. Some of it's from around the world, but it usually peaks after there's been an article in the Bangor Daily.
Yep, of course.
And there's a lot of activity, and people are reading and looking at different things. I ran into somebody at the meeting last night who had found the website and obtained information from it.
Now, people who are just coming to the website, who are just now maybe for the first time finding themselves exposed to the information that you've been trumpeting for years now, what is their reaction? I mean, are they just incredulous? I'm guessing that's got to be a fairly common response.
Yeah, somewhat. But on some of the online forums, like one of the last go-arounds in the BDN or on Facebook or some such thing, there was somebody who had found the website and was just argumentative about it. And that person lives on 46 or off 46. And, you know, I get that. Yeah, they want the trucks off 46. So they liked the website, but yet didn't like the website. And that website, by the way, is i395rt9hardlook.com, which will keep running for a while. It's cheap to keep it up there, but overall, not a huge point. Oh, but anyway, 46, you know, diverting traffic off that road onto this, onto Route 9 and this connector still isn't going to fix the problems inherent with that road. The narrowness, the sightline problems, no shoulders. Those are still going to be there. That's still going to be a problem.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, so although obviously it changes the traffic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're suggesting, it does nothing for inherent problems along Route 46.
Right.
And you know, there's been some conversation. I noticed Brewer's city manager, Steve Boss, mentioned the concern about the inordinate number of accidents, very serious accidents, many of them fatal, along sections of 1A.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, we've been told there's no money to enter into some sort of a large-scale project to address some of the really pressing concerns there. And yet there's this $60+ million for this I-395 connector.
Yep, that was brought up last night.
Where is the disconnect there?
Yeah, that was brought up last night, and the director of transportation planning, Scott Rollins, was there, and he answered it by saying that one of the components of addressing the problems on 1A was by diverting, what was the number, 5,500 vehicles off of 1A onto this connector. But let's also keep in mind that in the original study purpose and needs developed by the PAC and published in the Federal Register, was safety on Route 9 was also to be considered as a study purpose and need. That, in order to, excuse me, in order to make 2B2 meet the requirements, that safety of Route 9 was magically dropped from study purpose and needs. And let's also not forget that where this connector is proposed to join Route 9, there was a quite significant fatal accident right at that bend, among a few other fatalities on Route 9 in recent past. So, you know, fatalities are going to happen on either road. It doesn't matter. But now you are diverting traffic, you know, from one section to another, basically doubling the amount of traffic. And you're using a section of Route 9 that has multiple speed limit zone changes, school bus stops, you know, and where it enters in, they're going to be coming down off a hill and then, you know, flying up another hill, and they're going to be traveling at, you know, high rates of speed, and then going to be coming into 40 to 45 zone, and then it lowers from there. So it's hard to understand. Oh, and the other point that I brought up last night was the original study purpose and need also stated that the connector had to connect to Clifton, not Eddington. So that means east of the 46-9 intersection, that would truly meet the system linkage traffic flow needs. That was also changed. So now it's just to meet Route 9 Eddington somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, if it were to meet up with 9 east of the 946 intersection, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around how that road would lie out across there and not have to have an intersection with 46 at some point. I mean, what are they going to use, an overpass or an underpass or something to bypass having any sort of interconnect with 46?
Well, it's been discussed multiple times. There are documents that state that they would totally change the intersection of 46 and 9 regardless of this 2B2 connector. What was said last night was the thing that they're considering currently was adding a center turn lane on Route 9 at the 46-9 intersection. But there have been drawings that have been discovered of, you know, proposing to bypass, cut behind, kind of like from Blackcap Road behind Tradewinds and coming out Route 9 much closer to the exact Eddington-Clifton line. Uh-huh. So, you know, don't believe what they said last night, because we have documents that show that they've already kind of plotted out on a drawing of other ideas that they have.
We're speaking with Eddington resident Gretchen Heldman. As this moves forward, and it's going to, I mean, all we're hearing from DOT is, well, we've moved from planning to project.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Have they given any indication as to when they're going to break ground on this? I mean, are they ready to start talking about, you know, real nuts and bolts work being done and the impact that it's going to have on a number of residents?
Yes, part of their PowerPoint last night was a time schedule that they had laid out. But a lot of it is contingent on actually getting funding for the project. They don't have funding at the moment. They're going to be applying to the federal government for something that Scott referred to as FAST. Some acronym the feds have for some transportation thing.
Yeah, they do like their acronym. They do like their acronyms.
But anyway, so they're applying for that funding. There's not funding in place. And I would also point out that there's not necessarily funding or a plan, and it's not part of the $60 million for environmental mitigation, for any of the wetland mitigation that they have to do. And that could easily skyrocket, because there were a couple things pointed out last night and a couple things that had been pointed out over the years that they were unaware of, that they didn't find in their preliminary overview of looking at maps and going out in the area, you know. One of which, one of my favorite examples, is where they propose this to enter Route 9. There's a marsh right there, a swamp, a wetland area. And that they didn't even know it was there. And I pointed out, I was like, there's a wetland there. What are you proposing to do? Is this going to affect it? And they're like, and that was a comment made at the public hearing, deemed not substantive. And then lo and behold, a year later, guess what's in their biological assessment? That's something critical that they have to pay attention to. Wetland on Route 9. Gosh darn it.
Wow. Wow. as you peel it back, it just becomes less and less believable that it has transpired in the way in which it has.
Mm-hmm.
A member of Brewer City Council, Kevin O'Connell.
Yep, he was there.
He was talking about the Regional Transportation Board, the local Regional Transportation Board.
Facts.
Yeah, and they said that they absolutely felt as though state transportation officials, and apparently at least one federal official, making them feel as though they had to, it was like, hey, you need to support this, or we're going to cut funding for other projects?
Yes. Yeah.
So now we're talking about some absolute arm twisting. It's like, hey, if you want to see this and that happen on the local level, you need to get behind this or the money's going to disappear.
Yeah, I was at that meeting. They were definitely strong-armed. And although there was a vote in favor, it was a lot of the people that voted in favor did not want to. But they definitely felt strong-armed. Some of them said so as they voted, that it felt dirty. And
that's all a matter of public record.
It is. Yep.
I guess I just don't know what to say. You would like to think that when citizens become involved in the process, that the information that they bring to bear would not simply be dismissed as inconsequential because it didn't come from an official source that agrees with what certainly appears to be a preconceived notion.
Yeah.
Right. I know. And, you know, all along they have talked about how it's important to get public input and public comment. you know, but in the other side of their mouth, they don't put notices out in a timely fashion. They didn't even want to tell anyone about switching from 3EIK-2 to 2B-2. So
those are some of the proposed routes and their acronym designations.
Right. Yeah. Their acronym designations. And they also, you know, a comment was made about how in the beginning of the project, it was four lanes divided, you know, so like 395 is right now, there's two lanes, there's a grassy median in the middle. That was the original intent in a freeway highway design of what they were looking for. And then some point throughout the project, they decided internally, and we have the FOIA emails to prove this, that they were just going to go with a rolling rural design and just downgrade it to two lanes not divided. So basically building another Route 9 or 1A or 46, just another two lanes not divided. They did not go back and look at the 79 plus other alternatives in light of that design change to see if maybe they would have less environmental impact or less impact to homes or whatever. They didn't go back and look at that. And so that's a real apples to oranges comparison. And one of the agency representatives, I believe it was somebody from the Federal Highway Agency, pointed that out. Like, that's a problem, comparing apples and oranges, and you're just making this design change for just these few options that you're going to move ahead with, and you're not going to go back and look at the others in light of that change. And that person was basically taken to the woodshed by their supervisor and told to hush, hush.
wouldn't want somebody actually...
also have those in the FOIA emails. Not making it up.
And I can't imagine anybody experiencing a level of frustration that is on par with yours because of the fact that you have been, you know, after this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you look to as you're discussing this whole mess? Somebody that you feel as though you have a reliable sounding board, somebody who has been there throughout that process. Is there anybody who's been on top of this the way you have?
Yeah, Brewer resident Larry Adams, he and I are the ones that run that website, mm-hmm. and he has been absolutely on top of it. He wasn't able to be at the meeting last night, but he already emailed his questions in to the project manager. Some of the same questions that he's already been asking and has received no answers to. And Larry has gone ahead and emailed all sorts of state and federal representatives all the way up and down the lines and different departments and you name it to try and get answers. And, you know, it's just,
I think the
subterfuge all around.
Yeah, it really does. there's no other way to describe it. When I looked at the press release for the meeting that was being held last night, quoting directly from the release, because somebody in the comments section, as there's an article appeared letting everybody know that the meeting was coming up,
mm-hmm.
Somebody in the comments section has said, well, they aren't even answering questions during the public portion of the meeting. And when you read the press release, while the meeting is scheduled from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Maine DOT staff will be available for individual questions before the meeting, starting mm-hmm. at 5 p.m., as well as after the meeting, until all individual questions are addressed.
Yep. And that's
it
true.
They
were there. And
so they were there before, and they were taking questions, and then it was like, well, hold on, we got to have this public portion.
Well, they had to do their PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So they had to, you know, show off their slides. And then afterward, they went back to their sign-up sheet. When you signed in as yourself, or as Dog and Pony Show, as some of us did. And then you could also sign up as a separate list to ask questions. So they went through that list, and then after the people that had signed up had asked questions, they went ahead and started taking questions from the audience.
I would just urge people to check out the website that you've created. I think it's important for people to understand the scope of the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
It is substantial. There's a tremendous amount of money that's involved in a number of different ways, not the least of which includes what sure as heck sounds like coercion to me with regard to the vote taken by the local body backed. It's incredibly discouraging. And we're all going to watch this project go, and as it stumbles and fumbles its way forward, I wonder if there's ever going to be a true accounting to know exactly, you know, who it was pulling the strings behind the scenes here to make this continue to chug ahead.
Yeah, unlikely, but you know, maybe you never know. I keep asking the same question I've been asking all along via the FOIA that I did, or the lawsuit that I did, or the general emails. Where are the data to support this conclusion? And they keep pointing to their environmental impact statement, which has some figures, mm-hmm. and I've looked at those and looked at the FOIA information. And it's the same information that they used to say it was not a viable option. So where are the data to support the magic dust they sprinkled on Route 9 to make 2B2 a viable option?
The website is i395rt9hardlook.com. We're linking to it on our Facebook page. Gretchen, your efforts are greatly appreciated, and I know that's just, you know... Not enough.
Thank you for having me.